Got some excited people in church this morning. That's good. I got a call last Sunday evening about 9 o'clock from a pastor, a friend of mine, been a friend for years here in Washington County. He said, "Pastor Ken," he said, "has anybody gotten COVID in your church?" I said, "Well, actually they have." I said, "Two of them have. They got it before we got back to having church services." He said, "We found out today that there are 9 people that have been confirmed in our congregation." And he said, "I just got a call," he said, "from 4 more people who are showing the symptoms that will be tested tomorrow." Since then, several of them are in ICU. And the only reason I'm sharing this with you is I know that what we're doing seems like an inconvenience to you, and that's really all it is. It's just an inconvenience. But we're going to do what we can do, and we're going to trust God. Amen? Now, he asked me not to share what church it was. He said, "I don't want all that media attention and all that kind of stuff going on." Now, we've been keeping social distancing, and we're going to have to do it now. But Harriet, I do want you to come and stand up front here. Could you do that? Her husband, Barry, most of you know Barry. We call him Big B, is his nickname. And he does not have COVID, thank God. But he is in critical condition. He's in ICU in Washington County. Are you able at all to visit with him or not? Not. Amen. So the reason I've asked her to come is we're going to pray. The deacons that are here, I would like you to come if you would. Keep social distancing, but just make a circle around her. We're going to pray for her in proxy, for her and her husband and her family. Barry needs a special touch from the Lord. He is a servant of the Lord that, humble servant of the Lord. He doesn't want anybody to know anything he does, and I can't tell you because he told me, "Don't you ever tell anybody what I'm doing." And he's bigger than I am, so I'm listening to him. But would you bow your heads with me, and would you agree together? Jesus said, if two or more would agree as touching anything according to the will of God, that it'll be done. And I believe God can reach out and touch him. He's had kidney failure. He's got kidney stones in both kidneys. He's having trouble breathing. He fell and broke ribs. And we just need to pray that God will touch him. Heavenly Father, we just come before you right now because you said that if there are any sick among you, God, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray the prayer of faith. You said, Father, even if we've sinned against you, those sins will be forgiven. And God, they'll be cleansed and healing can flow from your throne if it's your will, O God. So, Father, we just come right now, and we lift Barry up to you. We love him, but you love him more, Father. And, God, he so trusts in you and you alone, God, for his salvation, for his walk with you, Father. And, Lord, he may be alone in that hospital room, at least apart from his family, but, God, he is not alone. We ask that you would draw near to him, that you would let your Holy Spirit strengthen his body that is so fearfully and wonderfully made, Father. And God, that you would pour out your Spirit on him. May in this very hour, Jesus, like you spoke that word to Jairus' daughter, may you speak the word right now. And may Barry feel your arms of love and your virtue of healing flowing through his body. I pray, God, for doctors and nurses that are around him, that you would put a hedge of protection around him and them, and give them all the wisdom and grace, Father, that they need to minister to him. And, Lord, I lift up Harriet to you. I lift up Amanda to you, Lord God. And, Father, I pray that you would draw near to them. You have promised to give us grace sufficient for every circumstance and situation. God, I know your love, and I know when we go through the fire and the waters and the storms, that, God, your grace draws nearer. And so I pray, God, that you would draw near to them in such a way, Father, that they will behold and see the goodness and the healing and the salvation of the Lord. And, Father, I ask these things in Jesus' name this morning. And, Father, we give you praise in advance for a good report that we're about to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you, girl. I wish I could hug you. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I usually don't do this to people when the first time they're here either, but I met this young man the other day. Billy, would you just stand up for me? You don't have to say anything. 29 or 30 days, he was laying on the streets in Baltimore hooked on heroin. He's been clean for 29 days. Amen. We love you, brother. God has a life for you. I'm telling you, you can be seated. Thank you, Billy. Thank you for coming, and let God do what he wants to do in your heart and life. He can set you free. There ain't no doubt about it. I'm living proof. All right, you're not getting all that much exercise in quarantine, so I'm going to ask you to stand again, if you would, for the reading of God's Word this morning. I do want to talk to you about the counsel of the Lord because it's so important. In Joshua 9:14, I'm reading from the New American Standard this morning. Somebody might be saying, Pastor Ken, we can't even keep up with you in those Bibles. It don't matter. Just listen to the Word. It said, so the men of Israel took some of their provisions, and they did not ask for the counsel of the Lord. Did not ask for the counsel of the Lord. This is Joshua is the leader of Israel. He's a good man. He loved the Lord with all of his heart. The name Joshua is the Hebrew rendition of Jesus. But he too got ahead of the man. I'm talking about that man. Amen. Would you bow your heads once more and let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come before you this morning and thank you that your Son is the hope of the world. But I thank you, Lord, even more so that it's not just the world, but Father, each and every one of us. Lord, I thank you that you sent your Son to die in our place on the cross, to be the sacrifice once and for all for our sins, for our shortcomings, for our failings, O God. And Father, I thank you that because he did that, you sent the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you that he is a comforter. He is a counselor. Lord, he is the power of God in each and every one of us and in the power of the gospel. And Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for truth. In a world, Father, where we can't believe, Lord, one thing after the other, it's hard to know and discern. And yet there is a voice that speaks louder and brighter than the sun that blesses this earth. I thank you, Jesus, that because you came and did what you did, we are forgiven and healed. I thank you, God, Holy Spirit, for the power that resides in us. I thank you for being a teacher of the Word which is able to save us from the guttermost to the uttermost, as I've heard Walt say so many times. Father, I thank you that it is a compass. I thank you that it is a guide. I thank you that it is a lamp under our feet and a light under our path. I thank you, God, that we don't stumble in darkness, but we have the light of the world. And so, Lord, I ask that you would touch our hearts with it today. Holy Spirit, breathe across every heart, every life that's here this morning. And let them hear your voice through your word, I pray. And help me to have, as Brother Steve prayed, clarity of mind and heart. And to be a messenger for you, I pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. In this chapter in Joshua, what we're seeing is that Joshua and Israel are deceived by the people of Gibeon. This is a group of people that were a part of those that were living those ungodly lives in the promised land. They were a part of the people that were to be literally judged by God through Israel. They were to be destroyed. And they dressed as though they'd come from somewhere other than Canaan. And they talked Joshua and Israel into making a covenant with them not to destroy them in their conquest of the land. And Joshua did not ask the counsel of the Lord, but went ahead and made a covenant with these people. In verse 3, it said, when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and to Ai, they also acted craftily, and they set out as envoys, and they took worn-out sacks on their donkeys and wineskins and worn-out and torn and mended and worn-out and patched sandals on their feet and worn-out clothes on themselves, and all the bread of their provision was dry and had become crumbled. They were putting on quite a show. They were becoming quite the actors, if you will, because they were trying to save themselves. And as I read this, I realize that men will do just about anything, and they'll go to great lengths to save themselves. But so many times we'll not listen to the Word of God and the voice of God. I've not been on social media a lot lately, but when I am on there, you see a lot of people that they're like, they're asking for answers, whether it's a relationship, a marriage, whether it's family problems, whether it's, you know, just things that are going on in their lives. And thank God, there's always a few that the Lord is reaching out to and touching their hearts. But how many of you know most of them really don't want the answer? Every once in a great while, people I've been close enough to and have the right to speak into their lives, I'll remind them when they're crying out, when they're asking the questions, I'll say, Jesus is the answer if you really want to fix this. Because He is the way, He is the truth, He is the light. Glad you're here this morning, Charlotte. She's my new mama. I told her, I said, I don't have mama anymore. You're my mama. She volunteered too. It goes on and said, but they said to Joshua, we are your servants. And then Joshua said to them, who are you and where do you come from? And they said to him, your servants have come from a very far country because of the fame of the Lord your God. For we've heard the report of him and all that he did in Egypt and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Zion, king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, who was at Ashtaroth. So our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spoke to us, saying, take provisions in your hand for the journey, and go to meet them and say to them, we are your servants. Now then make a covenant with us. This our bread was warm when we took it for our provisions out of our houses on the day that we left to come to you, but now behold, it's dry and it's become crumbled. These wineskins which we filled were new. Behold, they are torn, and these our clothes and our sandals are worn out because of the very long journey. They had put a lot of work and a lot of time and a lot of thinking into this plan. And see, you might put a lot of time and a lot of thinking about how you're going to live your life and how you're going to fix things in your life, and you may go to great strides, but if you don't come to God, if you don't seek the counsel of the Lord, I don't care who you are, somewhere down the line, your plans are going to fail. Somewhere down the line, our enemy, the devil, is going to meet you on the path, and it isn't going to end up where you think it is. There are people that work so hard at trying to fix things. And Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are laboring or heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls. I don't know what all you've been doing through all this, but I've been thanking God even more every day that I know Him as Savior and Lord, that I speak to Him and He speaks to me, and I know what His promises are and I know what He said to me, and it doesn't matter what is going on in the world. God is still on the throne. He is still Almighty God. He is still our provider. He is still our healer. He is still our defender. He is still our rock and our fortress and our exceeding great reward. It said, so the men of Israel took some of their provisions and did not ask counsel of the Lord. The counsel of the Lord is the most important thing that you can have in your life. That's why God sent his word. In Isaiah 55, he said, I sent my word, and it will accomplish the thing that I sent it to do. Now, it'll only do it if you obey it. But not only did he send it to accomplish his will in our hearts and our lives, he sent it with a promise. He said, it is so true, it is so right, that heaven and earth will pass away before one jot or one tittle of God's word will pass and be lost. That's how sure it is. I agree with Steve. You can't listen to the news. You really can't. They're all liars. They're all lost. They're all liars. You need to listen. You need to listen to Jesus. And I'm not talking about sticking your head in the sand and, you know, ignoring things. What we are seeing right now is you are seeing the condition of the world that it's always in. It's always lost. It's always filled with hate. It's always filled with division. It's always filled with racism. It's all those things. But see, you and I are apart from it for a little bit, and we step back from it, and it looks a whole lot uglier, doesn't it? How many of you have been praying more than you used to? I know I have. You can either complain about all the ungodliness or you can pray for all the ungodly people and say, God, I'm doing what you told me to do. You said to pray that all men might be saved because this is good and the perfect will of God that we would pray. Now, all of them aren't going to be saved. They got to choose like you did, but we need to pray. The Lord's convicted me a few times. I like to gripe too. He said, shut up and pray. Quit talking about them and pray for them, no matter who they are. Now, Proverbs 3:6, and this is really where I want to go to, says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Remember that highway we talked about last week, that highway of holiness that old Slewfoot won't even get up on? He said, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. I like to study people. I really do. One of my favorite places used to be, I don't hang around there a lot right now either, but one of my favorite places used to be was sitting outside of Walmart. That's better than the Washington Zoo. It's more entertaining. But I've watched Christians, too, down through the years. I do that because I want to learn, and I want to grow, and I want to understand things, and I know that my view of life isn't the only view that exists. You didn't know that, did you? Surprise. Now, I'm talking about yours. I'm not talking about mine. And a lot of times down through the years, what I've heard people saying about this scripture, this is what they think this means. Lord, I'm about to travel, so I acknowledge you and ask your blessing on my travels. Or, Lord, I'm about to make one of the biggest decisions of my life, and so I acknowledge you, God, and I ask for wisdom and direction. God, this pretty little thing wants to marry me, or this handsome guy wants to marry me, and Lord, I acknowledge you, and I need direction, and I need wisdom. Now, I want to share with you this. We need to pray about everything. You need to pray those kind of prayers. There's no doubt about it. The Bible said, in everything with prayer and praise and thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Don't even be anxious, it says. You can either worry or pray. You got those two choices. So we need to pray about everything. But that scripture goes much deeper than just praying and asking God's blessing on the plans that we've already made. Now, let me throw another scripture in there I wasn't planning on. We make our plans, but the Lord directs our steps. I wanted to throw that in there because even when you make your plans, they don't always go the way you want them to go, do they? But if you're growing up in Christ, you'll learn not to throw a fit and act like a spoiled child and a baby and a brat when things don't go the way you want them to go. I make my plans all the time, but I always leave it open to Him to change them. Lord, this is what my plans are today, but if you want to come in and wreck it all, it's okay. You're the boss. He really is. See, the problem with thinking that this verse is just about using prayer alone as a means of getting God's counsel is that you and I can talk to ourselves in Jesus' name. Yeah. Well, I know God said this. Every time somebody says that to me, I listen to what they say God said, and then I wait. Because the one thing about God saying things is that whatever He says comes to pass. And nobody can stop it. Nobody. Nothing. But see, Jeremiah tells us that our hearts are desperately wicked. And we'll convince our own selves of what we want to do. We can justify, we can satisfy, we can convince ourselves that anything we want to do is in fact the will of God. Down through the years, I've had people come to me and they said, Pastor Ken, God told me that I'm supposed to do such and such. What do you think? I said, it don't matter. You don't really want counsel from me. You just told me God told you that's, you know, that's the end of the discussion. But see, we can do that. We can convince ourselves of anything. So it goes much deeper than God help me with this or bless that or touch this. Now, like I said, we ought to pray about anything and everything. But I want you to see the scripture in the context. In fact, if you don't hear anything else I say today, hear this. Quit living the Bible like it's a fortune cookie. And just pulling little strips of paper out of it once in a while so you can do what you want to do. Read the whole thing and find out exactly what it says and what it means straight out. And people say, oh, well, I don't know how to interpret it. You don't have to interpret it. All you got to do is read it, but read the whole thing. Now, this is the context of that scripture. My son, forget not my law or teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Jesus said this. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I want to love Jesus more than anything or anybody. I want to get in that word, and when he tells me to do something, I want to say, Jesus, I love you so much that I will gladly do what you ask me to do. In fact, right after he said, those that love me will keep my commandments, he said, and my commandments won't be grievous to you. They won't be hard because you'll be in love with Jesus. You need to wake up every day and say, God, I love you so much that anything you show me, anything you speak to me, anything that's in your word that you say, will you do this? Lord, I'm ready. I love you and I want to love you above everything and everybody and my own will and my own wants. And I want to do your will, God. He said, but let your heart keep my commandments for length of days and years of a life worth living and tranquility. I'm reading from the Amplified. Inward and outward, continuing through old age until death. These shall they add to you. You know, I've heard Christians say, well, when your number's up, you're gone. You can't stop God. That's a lie. That's a lie. You know, you can shorten your life. You can lengthen it too. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that your days may be long throughout the earth. I think that's really God's way of saying, if you don't straighten up, your parents will kill you. You won't live long. I've often said grandchildren is the reward for not killing your own. Let not mercy and kindness, shutting out all hatred and selfishness. Let not mercy and kindness and truth, shutting out all deliberate hypocrisy or falsehood, forsake you. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the tablet of your heart. We're supposed to get this word so down inside of us that it's written on the tables of our heart. That there's more of this in us than anything else that we know in this life. I had somebody a couple weeks ago look me dead in the eye and they said, doesn't the Bible say blah, blah, blah? I said, absolutely not. They said, what? I said, that is not it. You show me where that's in there. But see, you don't know that unless you read it. Unless you read it enough to know what it says. To know what it says. So shall you find favor, good understanding, and high esteem in the sight or judgment of God and man. Do you know even evil people like good people? Evil people like honest people. Evil people even like people of integrity and uprightness. They really do. You do too. No matter where you're at, no matter how you live, no matter what attitude you have, you like good people. So does God. And he wants you to have favor with him and man. The Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, he said, I seek always to have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. Why? Because he wanted to walk in the favor of God and man as much as possible. How many of you see God give you favor in the eyes of men? Them old sinners think they're doing you a favor, and I just look them in the eye and said, Jesus, I see you standing right behind them. Because he does. See, he said, when a man's ways please the Lord, he said, I'll make even his enemies be at peace with him. And it don't always happen all at once and every situation, but it does happen. Then it says, lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. You know what it's really saying in that verse? Always seek the counsel of the Lord, all of it. Not just a prayer to bless what you're doing. Find out what God's word says about it and do what it says. Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, and he will direct your path. Well, you're quiet, but it's good preaching anyway. That's all right. I'm glad you're listening. In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight and plain your paths. But be not wise in your own eyes. Reverently fear and worship the Lord, and turn entirely away from evil. It shall be health to your nerves and sinews and marrow and moistening to your bones. Now, you might not be able to appreciate that right now if you're under 50, but when you get over 50, you'll appreciate that moistening your bones stuff. All of that is saying the same thing that Jesus said when he said this. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they slammed against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. That's what this counsel of the Lord is. It doesn't shield you from all that happening. It just protects you and lets you stand through it all. Glory to God. You will not fall. He said, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them. That's a lot of church people. See, most of the lost out there haven't heard these words and don't even want to hear these words, but you hear them all the time. Do you act on them? It said, if you don't act on them, you're going to be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and they slammed against that house and it fell, and great was its fall. That's why the devil lures all them rich people out to Malibu. That's right. They build all them glorious million-dollar mansions on the sand and then watch them fall into the sea, dummies. Oh, I'd like to live in one of them houses, Pastor King. Go ahead, dummy. Do you hear what I'm saying to you this morning? The counsel of the Lord is that book. It's just not now and then. And don't use this book like a Ouija board. Now, I hate to do that because some of you have done that and God spoke to you that way. And he does. But that's not the best way. That's not the best way. Best way is to keep reading that thing from cover to cover to cover until you know it better than you know anything else in this world. And it's really not that hard. It really isn't if you just keep reading it. Moses said on one occasion to Israel, to Joshua, to this situation, he said, be sure your sin will find you out. It took 3 days, but that's all it took for Joshua and Israel to figure out what these guys had done. And they said, why did you lie to us? He said, man, because we knew you were coming to destroy us. Well, Josh says, we have to keep the covenant. We made a mistake, but we made a promise. And we've got to honor the covenant. But we're not going to destroy you, but you're going to be slaves for your entire life. All you're going to do is chop wood and carry water. And that's exactly what they did. See, that's what the devil wants to do to you. He wants to make a slave out of you. He wants to keep you a slave. He wants to keep you bound. He wants to grind you into the ground and work you to death. But you don't have to if you will listen to the voice of God through this word. I've said this in hundreds of funerals. I've said it in literally hundreds. I've lost count. The last wedding that I counted, I'd done 400 and some. I love doing them too. There's all kind of little babies in the world, and every time I see one, I think, shake and bake, and I helped. Yeah. But I've said in all those situations to all those people, it's the instruction manual to life. You want to know how to be married? It's the instruction manual. You want to know how to deal with death and the end of life? It's the instruction manual. If you want to know how to deal with your finances, it's the instruction manual. If you want to know how to learn to love people and get along with people, it's the instruction manual. If you want to know how to have peace and joy and happiness that the world and all that's in it cannot take away, it's the instruction manual. Don't you think you ought to read it? I'm going to ask the worship team, if they will, to come to the platform. Not seeking God's counsel in any and every area of our lives will make us slaves to sin and the devil as well. The Bible will teach you proper priorities. Some of you don't know how to make decisions. You can make most of them based on the biblical priorities that you're supposed to keep in your life. Some of you don't know where and how and when and in what way to worship God. If you read the Bible, you can find out. He is a father that seeks worshipers. He wants us to worship in spirit and in truth. He doesn't want dead, dry religion, and he seeks such, comes after them in marriage, in family. I came from a family that for three or four generations, hardly anybody could stay married. And, you know, we got all kind of kids that didn't have parents and everything else. And I didn't know how to be a husband or a dad. And it's the instruction manual to life. Our health, our finances, our work. Some of you, you're still working and you're miserable, and Jesus said you got to figure it out. You're working for Him. You're there because He's put you there to reach those that are there. And when you figure that out, even work becomes worship. And you have a destiny in life. The devil has a plan and a destiny for you. But God has a better one, Billy. The devil was trying to kill you, man, but he lost. The instruction manual to life. You get in that, you walk in it, you do what it says, and God has a life for you, Billy, and for every other person, myself included, like you have never dreamed of. I tell people, I said, serving Christ is an adventure. It is an adventure. I thought when I got saved, I wouldn't get to live anymore. You don't start living until you give your heart to Christ, till you ask Jesus to come in and be Lord and Master and leader, and then let Him teach you the Word through the Holy Spirit. He said it's so simple, a little child can understand it, and a little child shall lead them, but you've got to get in it. Amen. Would you stand to your feet and bow your heads? We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Can I tell you what it's a joy to worship with each and every person here today?
Amen. God loves you so much.
Yes.
So much.
Amen. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you. Father God, today we lift up simple words, simple prayers, simple songs to you, Father God, because that's the best we can do is to express our love for you, Father God. Please, Father God, see past these words that we lifted up to you today and see our hearts, Father God. See how much we love you and we desperate for you, Father God, that we want to be with you. We want to honor you. We want to worship you. We want to please you, Father God. So, Father God, see our hearts right now, this very moment, Father God. They speak louder than the words and songs that we've just sang, Father God. And, Father God, we thank you for your word that's alive.
Yes.
Moving and stirring, Father God. It guides the lost, guides the godly people, Father God. So, Father God, we lift this word up to you, Father God, that it might find a home in our hearts, Father God, that it might counsel us, Father God, in those times when we need answers, Father. Help us to read your word, Father God.
Yes, and be drawn to it like a moth.
Lord, just set it upon our hearts, Father God, that when life comes, Father, that we have it hidden in our hearts, Father God, that we know the answer already. Lord, we thank you for this time together as a church family. And Lord, I just take this time to lift our nation up to you, Father God. You see the turmoil, you see the chaos that's taking place. And Father God, I pray, like you said in the Bible, Lord, that a father disciplines his child. Lord, I pray for discipline right now in this nation, Father God.
God, bring us back to yourself.
Father God, I pray for all those lawless people. I lift up all those who are stirring strife and division, Father God. I pray for discipline. I pray for punishment, Father God. Not that I get satisfaction from it, Father God, but that you draw them into a repentance, Father God, for their actions and their deeds. And Father God, I especially lift our politicians up to you, Father God. They have been placed in a position to honor the people and to do our wishes, yet, Father God, it seems like they're doing everything but that, Father God. So I pray for discipline. I pray for punishment upon them, Father God. Begin as a loving father would discipline them, Father God. I ask that you discipline them. And Father God, I would be short if I didn't say discipline us here in this sanctuary too, Father God. If we're doing anything, Father God, out of your will, discipline us. Turn us around to repentance, to draw us back unto you, Father God. Draw us, Father God, to your word, to you, Father God. Help us not to bow down to man and the pressures of this world, Father God. And Lord, I just lift up those among us right now, Father God. We are hurting people, Father God. There are sick among us, Father God. Those who are struggling in relationships, their finances, Father God. They are struggling, Father God, with their jobs and unemployment, Father God. There's so much that we're struggling with, Father God. So hear our hearts, Father God. Holy Spirit, just come now. Rest upon our shoulder, Father God. Oh, Lord, we need your healing touch right now, Father God, for those who need healing. Oh, Father God, lift us up. Lift your servants up. Let us go out boldly now into this world, Father God. Help us to serve you and honor you in everything that we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.